So we're still in there, going to be in verses 45 through 56. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And so last week we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and what that looked like. And the question is, God, will you provide for us, or will you give us the ability to provide for others? And God, by faith, God will give you what you need to meet the needs of others. He looked at his disciples, and there was 5,000 men plus women and children. So anywhere from, 10 to 15,000 people were there. And the disciples said, Jesus, send them home because they're hungry and they need a place to eat. And there's no place really here to feed them. There wasn't a hothead burrito truck or some other kind of food truck there to feed them. They said, send them home. And Jesus looked at the disciples as something that's really scary to most of us. He looked at his disciples and he said, you feed them. What? Right? Jesus, that would take half a year's salary. Do you really want us to spend a half a year's salary on one meal? I think it sounded like Judas speaking up at that point, right? Jesus, do you really want us to do that? He said, yeah. Sit down. Let me show you how it's done. And he took 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and he fed the multitude. And today, in today's passage, he sends his disciples back to the other side. Do you remember Mark chapter 4 where we saw Jesus sent them to the other side and Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping and they ran into a storm and he's just snoring away, sleeping away while they're petrified? Remember that? And we talked about the fact that, do you trust him? Do you trust God to get you through those storms? Well, today, Jesus is sending them back into another storm. And so today we're going to talk about this whole idea of you're not alone. You're not alone. Have you ever been in a crowded room and felt all alone? There are some of you sitting here this morning and you're feeling alone. There's people within touching distance of you and yet you feel hollow and empty inside. You feel like, I know there's a God. I know he loves me. I have a relationship with him, maybe. Maybe you have that relationship with him. And yet you still feel all alone. Maybe you've kind of abandoned him for a while and you're guilty. You're feeling guilt or shame because of that relationship isn't what it used to be or should be. And you're just harboring this guilt and shame. And you're sitting there and God's right there in your midst, in your presence, and you feel all alone. I'm here to tell you today that you're not alone. As we sang in the songs, the first two praise songs especially, as we sang in those songs, guys, you're not alone. He's there. He's watching over you. He's with you in the midst of whatever storm life has thrown at you, whatever you're going through, he's there with you. Have you ever been in a place where you see God moving and doing amazing things, and yet you still feel all alone? You see him touching and healing or working and doing awesome things in the lives of those around you, and you see it and you know that it's happening. You even feel his presence, and yet you feel all alone. Talk to kids all the time, they'll tell me, I've got friends on Facebook, I got friends at school, I got people all around me, and I get home and parents are just outside the door to my bedroom in the living room just a few feet away, and yet I feel all alone. They may be cutting, or they may be suicidal, they may be thinking 1,000 different thoughts, and all those thoughts come back to, I feel alone, I feel like God doesn't love me, I feel like nobody cares. And they say crazy things like, if I wasn't here, nobody would notice. If I wasn't here, this world would be a better place without me. And it couldn't be any further from the truth. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. When God looks at you, he is crazy about you. He thinks you're awesome. And you say, but my life, my sin. Yeah, he doesn't like our sin. He doesn't like what we have become, but he loves us. Have you ever had your children do things they shouldn't do, and you're frustrated with them, but you love them anyway? you know, it comes time for dinner and you still feed them. You still give them a bath. You still clothe them. You still send them to bed. You give them hugs and kisses and tell them you love them. And if you don't, shame on you. Because no matter what that child does, he's still your child. And you love him. And I want you to know today that if you're sitting here feeling all alone, feeling empty, feeling like nobody cares, there's a God in the universe, in the heavens, that created everything around you and created you in his image. And he loves you. He's crazy about you. And no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. You see, Pastor Jim, I don't like the plans that he has for me right now. I don't like the direction he's taking me. We're going to see today that he tells the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. Should have been deja vu for them. There should have been this moment of, uh-oh, last time he sent us in a boat, remember what happened? And they're in the middle of the storm, and Jesus knows the storm is there. And they're in the middle of the storm, but they're not alone. It's an amazing story. And some of you are sitting here today surrounded by people who love you and care about you, and you feel like you're alone. Your husband's got his arm around you, or your wife has her arm around you, or your friends are sitting next to you, whatever it may be, and you're not alone, but you feel like it. You feel like no one cares, no one understands. Have you ever been in that position where you think nobody gets it? Nobody gets you. Nobody understands you. I always love that one. Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, which means God has seen it all. There are 7 billion plus people on the planet right now alive. Right now. If we add up all the people who's been existed from the beginning of creation, I don't know how many billion that would be. It'd be a lot, right? God knows every one of them. And knows who they are and what they're going through. It is amazing. Guys, I want to let you know, you're not alone. Whatever you're going through is not new to God. Whatever you're struggling with is not new to him. Whatever you need healing of, that's not new. He doesn't look at you and go, oh, never saw that disease. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. Aren't you thankful for that? How terrible would it be to have the doctor tell you, you got this disease that no one knows what it is, and you start praying, you say, God, we don't know what this is, can you heal me? And him go, never seen that one before. You're in trouble. That'd be horrible. It's not how it is. God knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what it feels like. You say, man, no one understands how I feel. Jesus does. God does. And guys, no matter what you're facing, you're not alone. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 46 is a passage that we're in today. He's just fed the multitude. Verse 44 says the number of men who had eaten were about 5,000. He goes on to verse 45. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. Isn't that interesting? Once again, he knows where they're headed. He knows what they're about to go through. And it says that he sent them ahead of him to the other side of the lake. Now, there's a couple thoughts that may run running through the disciples' mind. Dude, how's he going to get to the other side? Is he really going to walk all the way around the lake? Little do they know, right? If he sends us off without him, what are we going to do? I don't really want to go where he's not. Why would I want to go to the other side if he's over here? Wonder what he's going to do. He's going to the mountain to pray? I'd like to go pray. Jesus, can I go with you? No, go to the other side. And it says, then he dismissed the multitude from the ones he had fed and sent them home too. And he goes up to the Father to pray. And after leaving them, he went on the mountain to pray. Verse 47, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake, and he was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. And they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. That verse is peculiar. You should hang on to that verse for a second and try to figure that one out. What's that got to do with guys in a boat straining at the oars, trying to get to the other side? Verse 53, "And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. And they ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on the mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, towns, countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. And they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we get into your word, I just ask your Holy Spirit will come and speak to us. Father, there are those here this morning that are just feeling all alone. Father, either now, maybe prior in their life, some of them will feel alone here in the future. Father, you know exactly what they're going through, and Father, Scripture says that you saw them. Jesus, you see us right now. Even though we may not even know you're watching, you're there watching us. You know what we're going through. So, Father, we ask and pray that as we go into your word today, that you will give hope and encouragement to those who need hope and encouragement. And, Father, that those maybe you're sitting here not realizing how much you love them, how much you're there for them, may feel that for the first time, maybe the first time in their life, or at least the first time today. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I see when I look at this passage is take the test over again until you get it right. Take the test over again until you get it right. I had a friend of mine who used to say, faith is a test. And if you get it wrong, God will make you take it over and over again until you get it right. If you remember in Mark chapter 4, the disciples got in a boat, was going to the other side, they hit a storm, and they freaked out, and they said, "Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die, we're about to perish, don't you care?" And he said, "Guys, where's your faith?" And he looks at the water, and he says, "Shut up, be quiet, be still," and the water calmed down. And Jesus showed them how to handle the situation, did he not? Then, as the chapter goes on, and next chapter and a half, he sends them out. Remember, sends them out two by two. Gives them power and authority over demons and how to heal people and to spread the good news and to preach the word that Jesus is the Messiah. And they sent him out to do that. And they learn how to handle those situations. He said, "If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And he starts to teach them how to fish. He's teaching them how to live their life spiritually. As you read God's word, he's teaching you right now what you're going through and how to get through it. He taught you last time you went through a situation, and he's teaching you again. But some of us are taking the test over and over and over because we keep failing. "I don't know what I'm going to do." Did you pray? No. Remember last time we talked and I said you need to pray? Yeah. "But prayer doesn't work for me." Yes, it does. Have you prayed? No. All right, take the test again. Just keep going in the boat. Get in a boat, head into the storm. Water's going to come up. Waves are going to push you aside. You're going to be straining at the oars. "I can do it." I love you guys when you do that, right? "I can do this. I got this." Do you? Look, if we be honest, none of us got this. None of us got this. I've had people mentor me and love me and teach me amazing things in my life. And all those teachings are awesome, especially the ones that point to Christ. But none of those will work if God's not a part of the equation. It doesn't work. And you keep straining at the oars, "I got this." Some of you, have you ever tried to row a boat and get one moving faster than the other? It's kind of like eating and rubbing your belly at the same time. And you can't chew and rub your, you can't chew gum and rub your belly at the same time. It's a coordination thing. It shouldn't be a problem. They're two different functions of the body. It's the jaw and it's the belly and the hand, and it should be simple, but it's not. The oars should be simple, but they're not. Sometimes you guys are just spinning in circles. You're just spinning around. I got this. Slow down. Got this. Speed up. He will have you take the test over and over again. There's an interesting verse there that says that he, as he sent them to the other side, and he says he saw them, right? He knew exactly what they were going through. They're going back in the same situation. And last time, what did he say? Where is your faith? And this time he says, their hearts were hardened because they didn't realize or understand what he did with the multiplication of the bread and the fish. And you look at that and you think they have nothing to do with each other, but they do. The faith that it takes to take bread and feed the multitude is the faith that it takes to get through the storm. And they're in the midst of this storm. And Jesus says, don't you remember last time where I asked you if you didn't have any faith? That all you had to do was trust me and call out to me and I would take care of you? Take the test again. Come on. Get back in the boat. Go to the other side. Why are we doing this? I don't know. What's going to happen when we get there? I don't know. Okay. Hey, that's a storm. You know what's crazy about it? It says that Jesus, this is around 6 to 7 o'clock at night when he sends them to the other side. Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. When he finally joins them, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning, almost 5 a.m. They've been struggling all night long, 8, 9, 10 hours. Your turn. And out of the 12, did any of them stop and say, hey, let's pray about this? Don't think so. I think if they would have, it might have made the text. I think if they would have said, guys, remember how Jesus calmed the storm last time? Remember how he gave us authority and power over demons and how to heal people? What if we tried to calm the storm? What if we asked Jesus to calm this? What if we put our faith, what if, now you know what we see? I can do it. I can do it. We got this. Here comes another wave. Come on, guys. We're halfway there. It's 12 hours in. We got this. Take the test again. Go on. Go on. Why is it so hard to trust him in the midst of the storm? Second thing I see in this passage is in the middle of the struggle, he sees you. In the middle of the struggle, he sees you. You're not alone. Look at the person beside you and tell them, you're not alone. Of course you're not. You're sitting next to me. You're not alone. I don't know what the struggle that you're in. I don't know what circumstance you're in. You're not alone. In the middle of the struggle, he sees you. And I just added this to the end of my sentence. And he walks to you. Isn't that cool? And he walks to you. He sees you. He sent you there, by the way. You're in the test. Test number 2. Take it over. Go back. So you're in the middle of the struggle, and he sees you. I don't know how many people I talk to. They say, I feel all alone. Like God doesn't know and God doesn't care. It's not true. Right now, Jesus is sitting there in the presence of his Father talking about you. And he says, you know what? Father, they're really struggling right now. Yeah, I know. Father, we need to send them some help. Yeah, we will. Father, I know you love them, but and I know I love them, but they're not feeling it right now. I know. Father, how should we bless them? Why don't we bless them this way? You're in the middle of the struggle, and he sees you. And then the scripture says that after watching them struggle, he walks to them on the water. Wondered how Jesus was going to get to the other side? he's going to walk on water. Crazy. He speaks to storms and they stop. He talks to bread and fish and they multiply. He talks to dead people and they rise from the grave. He commands demons to come out and they come out. Guys, I don't know what your circumstance is. I don't know what your struggle is, but he's greater than your struggle. I don't know what you're going through. Pastor Jim, I got all these anger issues from a child that's just part of me and I can't get rid of my anger. He's bigger than your anger issues. Pastor Jim, I struggle with pornography or I struggle with other sexual perversion. Pastor Jim, I struggle with, he's bigger than that. Pastor Jim, I struggle with hating those who hurt me. He's bigger than your hatred. He's bigger. Pastor Jim, I struggle with getting along with other people. He's bigger than your relationships. Pastor Jim, I struggle with addiction or drugs or alcohol. Whenever I'm hurting and I'm feeling alone, I hide in the bottle or I hide in the needle or I hide in whatever. He's bigger than what you're going through. He is. And it says he sees you. It's good to be seen, guys. It's good to be seen. It's good to know that God loves you and knows what you're going through. You're not alone. What is it in your life that you feel is against you? You're not alone. Third and final thing is Jesus walks above your circumstance. Jesus walks above your circumstance. What's it take to walk on water? I don't know. Isn't that crazy? One of the scariest things for me, and I've told you this before, the fear of drowning and the fear of burning to death in a fire, those two are just scary, right? They're scary. When I get in an unknown water and I put my feet down and it gets beyond the 5'11" that I am, maybe 5 foot because I got a head on top of there, right? And so when the water, you'll get that in a second, when the water gets above up to my lips and it starts to go up in here and get near the nose, I'm starting to panic because my feet are down below like a dog paddling. Like I'm reaching and there's nothing there to get a hold of. And it's scary. And you're in the midst of this storm, this struggle, and you're just trying to tread water. And Jesus walks above that circumstance. He walks on this water. And it says that he sees them, and he's walking on the water. And he just, you know what? They still haven't called out for me. Test number two, and they ain't called for Jesus yet. I guess I'll just walk on by. And they see him, and they're scared because they think it's a ghost. And they start screaming. They've been rowing for 12 hours. They ain't got nowhere, and they were worried about a ghost, right? They're, oh! Guys, don't be afraid. Once again, it's I. I'm here. Walks over. Another account talks about Peter walking on the water, that whole thing. Anyway, he walks over, gets in the boat. Storm calms down, and he's there in their midst. Jesus walks above your circumstance. In other words, he's able to handle whatever you're going through. He's got you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the struggle. What is your circumstance? What is your struggle? What is it that is just driving you crazy? Guys, you're not alone. He sees you. He's walking to you. He's there with you. You're not alone. Yeah, he's let you struggle for a while because he's waiting for you to call out to him for help. Yeah? No? Maybe? Yeah. Take the test again. Try it over. Let's go. Back in the boat. Go to the other side. Why is it so hard for us to cry out to God for help? God, I can't do this alone. Duh. Duh. Right? You can't. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I got this. I hear you. I hear you. And I'm stubborn. I like to do things on my own. If I'm down on the ground and I'm trying to get up and you come along, the chances of me asking you to help me lift me up is probably slim, because I can do it on my own. As I get older and it gets harder to get up, and I've gained a few pounds, maybe I'm just a little more wiser, I don't know. I reach out for help a whole lot more now than I used to. I'll look at someone and say, hey, help me up. Jesus is there waiting the whole time. I got you. You want some help? Oh, you want to sit there and struggle? Go ahead. It's been 12 hours. How's that going for you? Working good? Nah. I'm right here. Why is that so hard? And I'm not telling you to be lazy and not do anything, because guess what? You'll just still be sitting there spinning in circles. Waves pushing you around. What's your circumstance? He walks above it. He's not below it. He's not pinned down by it. He's not unable to overcome it. He's above it. Bible says that the earth is his footstool. Everything on this earth is beneath him. Not beneath him as in he's too good for you. Beneath him as in he's overcome it. He's stronger. He's more powerful than anything that you're going through, anything that you're experiencing. So we get ready to take communion. Some of you are sitting here today and you're just struggling. And I just let you know you're not alone. I'm going to ask the deacons to come. Kevin, I didn't ask you ahead of time. Can you strum something? Do you mind just strumming? He goes, yeah, but you didn't ask. So I don't know. Act like you're happy to do it, Kevin. Just come up here and humor me a little bit. Just strum for a little bit. You're not alone. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how you feel. But I want you to know the Bible says that Jesus sees you. He sees what you're going through. He understands what's happening in your life, and he's there for you. So as we get ready to take communion, I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll come now. And Pat, would you bring Sandy up front, please? While they're coming, maybe you're tired of taking the test over and over again. He wants to help you with that. Get you through that. So while we're taking of the bread and taking of the cup, would you just pray to him and talk to him? Maybe confess those sins that are so easily bogging you down, those things that are messing you up.